Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's good to see you this evening. Once again, thank you for joining us on this evening service here in Baltimore Christian Faith Center. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos. And in the very beginning, what I always like to do is I like to start with a word of prayer, so let's do just that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, so much for your blessings and your goodness, your kindness, Lord, your love. Lord, I thank you for the hedge of protection that you have placed, Lord, around us. I thank you, Lord, that you have kept us, guarded us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, so much. We have, Lord, a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, be glorified and be magnified this evening. May the people, Lord, see you, not me, but you, Lord. May they see you face to face. May they have, Lord, an encounter with you. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Be glorified and be magnified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a very good service this evening, and for those of you who have joined us or watched later on the recording, this morning we had talked about Thomas and his encounter with the Lord Jesus. And the thing that I focused on primarily this morning was Tom's motives, his reasoning to why he said what he said, why his reaction was what it was in the very beginning. Excuse me. When we read the book of John, chapter 20, and you catch it from verses 24 through 29. And I've stopped to think and wondered if potentially Tom was someone who was picked on often. And that's why maybe he was, or he had, the type of attitude that he had. One would just wonder, you'd probably think that he was different than everybody else. Maybe he was surrounded by some jokesters or some people that just were a little bit on the meaner side, a little bit tougher, and maybe Tom wasn't that way at all. But nonetheless, his attitude speaks volumes. And ultimately, if he is going to stick his neck out there on the gospel, preaching, suffer persecution, he wants to do it from a first-hand basis. He wants to see it for himself. Why is it that this person is privileged? And why is it that that person is privileged to see the Lord, to speak with the Lord, but I can't? Are you more special to the Lord than me? So no, I won't take it. I want to see it for myself. And ultimately, what I want to emphasize this evening, I started this morning and emphasize this evening, is the same attitude should be carried with us. We must want to search the Lord for ourselves. We cannot live vicariously through someone else. And it was never meant for us to have our relationship with the Lord that way. You cannot live vicariously through the pastor, through the prophet, through the prophetess, or another man of God, whomever it might be. All of this was designed for us to have a personal walk and a personal talk with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to continue on that topic, on that theme, maybe is the better word that I should say. The title to my sermon this evening is Focusing on Jesus. That is the title to my sermon. And I want it to be just that. I don't want to have a long, drawn out explanation and whatnot, I'm going to keep things short, simple, and straight to the point. I have some key points to give you this evening. But we must, for one, want it with all, with all of our hearts and seek it diligently, 100%. And then, when we come to that point, we zero in and we focus on our Lord. When we take our eyes off of our Lord Jesus, guess what? Bad things happen. Many bad things happen. And Peter once learned this truth the hard way. He was walking on water. But the scripture says that he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus, and then one thing happened, and that was he became afraid. And the Bible says that he saw that the wind was boisterous. Now, I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on this, but this is a story that I've often wondered and I thought about, and I question some of the events, and how is it that Peter could just be, you know, how can he let himself come to that point? And the conclusion that I've come is that he is just like all of us. He is exactly like all of us. He did, and everybody in the scriptures did, every single thing that we would do and that we still do. And I just want to touch on just a couple of verses as far as this particular occasion. That's found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 30. And it says, "So he said, 'Come,'" he meaning the Lord, see the capital H there. "And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the winds was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Wow. You see the occasion there? You see exactly what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. And then he focused on everything that was going around him. That could have been, frankly, very frightening. And then the worst happened. Peter ceased looking at the master and chose to focus on the wind and the waves. And he immediately began to sink. Now, what a vivid picture of a spiritual reality this is. This is a true vivid picture of how things are with us. You have two worlds coming together right now. You have the world here on earth in reference to the water, to the sea, to the wind, the human body. And then you have the supernatural, which is walking on water. He is the only other man on earth besides the Lord Jesus that has ever, ever done that. Walking on water. Our Lord Jesus did many miracles. He did great wonders. And this is one of them that he can share with somebody like you and me, with a person, with a human being. What a vivid, vivid picture of the spiritual reality and how things come. And consider some of the effects of focusing on anything but the Lord God. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, problems seem to be unsurmountable. And it's ironic to think that Peter had already, beaten the wind and the waves by God's power. Do you notice that? It has already occurred. He already won. He is like totally winning. He's winning right now. The man is walking on water. He had the faith to come out of the boat and actually do it. And actually do it when he focused on God, when he has his eyes on him. He had already beaten all of the circumstances and everything around him. And yet, his change of focus, the focus that he had, caused him to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Just by his change of focus. On an occasion just prior to his walking on the water, our Lord Jesus challenged the disciples to feed a crowd of more than 5,000 people. The same thing. The same occasion. Here you see the acts. You see the works and everything else right there in front of you. And again, the disciples focused on the size of the problem rather than the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of us are guilty of having that same type of attitude, that feeling, your personal convictions? How many of us? I'd say just about most of us. Panic, fear, doubt. All these things play a role in taking our focus on the Maker, on the Master. Can I please have John chapter 6, verses 5 through 11? And it says, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of fish as much as they wanted." Praise God. I want to create a point right now, and I want to say something that I want you to hold on to this statement. There are too many Christians and too many churches today who believe they are facing insurmountable problems, when what is often truly needed is a renewed concentration on the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this, and I want you to consider it 100%. There are way too many of us who choose to focus on the problems that surround us, who choose to focus on the circumstances, on the defeat, who live in fear, in panic, in doubt, in sadness, and rather in focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ, and whether to keep our vision on Him, to hold on to Him with all that you have, you rather focus on what's right in front of you. And this will not get us anywhere. And it will not give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will not be glorified in our defeat. None whatsoever. Just like a wise man has once said, don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. This is what we should do. You should tell your problems how big your God is and how huge He is and how nothing is impossible for Him. Nothing whatsoever. And all of that takes is a direct focus on the Lord our God. But when we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus, we get wrong ideas about people. Our Lord Jesus puts everything and everyone in a proper perspective. He considered Himself to be a servant of all. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a servant, called Himself a servant. Can I please have Mark 10:45? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Praise God. You see here, everything in its proper perspective. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to be a servant for you and I, and the sacrifice for the benefits of everyone, including you and me. A benefit for us to have victory, for us to conquer, for us to be the head and not the tail, for us to lend and not borrow, for us to be always ahead, always ahead. This is what our Lord Jesus was here for, and to give us eternal salvation. Praise God. Can I please have Matthew 26, verses 28? And it says, for this is my body, of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Praise the Lord. By contrast, our Lord's disciples had more than one argument about which one of them was the greatest in heaven. Can you believe that? And they even tried to forbid small children from approaching the Lord. I guess they were a little bit overzealous about who can come close to God, or whatever the case might be. When a Christian is not properly focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, he will begin comparing himself to others, and he will come to the conclusion that some people matter more to God than others, and that is not the case at all, whatsoever. Neither of these attitudes is biblical. Yet, both are seen far too frequent among the people of God. And let us not think that way. Let us not carry on having that type of attitude. The Lord died for every single one of us. And when we take our eyes off of our Lord Jesus, priorities get skewed. It's no more. When we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, not very nice things happen. The writer of Hebrews urges every Christian to look to our Lord Jesus as we run the race that is set before us, that is set by the Father. Let us run the race, but always having our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our beacon right there. That's our barometer. That's our guiding light. That's everything to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have that verse, please? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There is the key word, the key phrase right there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What I want to focus on and bring your attention here is the focusing part on our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon. Here we have a race that is set in front of us. We have here an agenda. There's things that we must do. And we can accomplish every single one of them if we simply keep our eyes on the Lord. We're going to have some bumps on the road. We might have some difficult times. Sure, we might be pulled left and right. But as long as we keep our focus on the author of our faith, we're bound to be winners, overcomers. We're bound to be doers and not just hearers. You will be victorious. And we cannot let things snag us left and right, the difficulties of life, or anything else in between. Our Lord Jesus asked this question once. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What profit is there? What have you gained? Anything? If you're just going to trade that for your soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Our Lord Jesus mentioned. Brothers and sisters, Christians who lose their focus on the Lord often find that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches quickly evades their lives, and the Lord our God's word becomes an afterthought. When we have success, when we have businesses to run, when we have all these responsibilities, potentially you landed your dream job. Or you might be doing exactly what you've always wanted to do and you're just focused. You focus on your career. Or whatever it might be, that is not a good place to be. We should always focus on the Lord our God. But can I please have Mark 4:19. And Mark 4:19 says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Greed, covetousness, doubt, worry are common in the lives of individuals who fail to focus on the Master. And this is what I'm trying to have you avoid. This is what I'm trying to have you see. That we have to maintain focus. We cannot let things get in our head. The news, the media, your friends and family and co-workers, and all these negativity that's surrounding you. You cannot let that steer you aside and pull you different ways. Praise the Lord. Every congregation and every Christian needs to echo the request that is found in John chapter 12, verses 21. Can I please have that? John 12, 21 says, then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Praise God. Again, sir, we wish to see Jesus. This should be the request of every Christian and every single congregation across the board. We want to see Jesus. We want to feel His presence. We want to hear His voice. This should be all of our attitudes every single day, focusing on our Lord Jesus. Praise God. I'd like to conclude with a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is here, Lord, with us, dwelling among us, Lord. Thank You so much. And Lord, I pray this evening that we all would learn to focus on You, that we all would learn to keep our eyes on You constantly and not worried about the problems of this world and the worries of this world, but that we could give them to You, that we may lay our burdens, Lord, upon You so You could take care of it for us. Lord, I pray that all of us, Lord, will learn to trust in You 100% and not focus on the things that are being said left and right in the news. But may we, Lord, always stay true and strong to You and to You alone. Lord, I thank You for protecting us. I thank You, Lord, for guarding us and keeping us. It is only You, Lord. Only You. It is because of You, Lord, that we have life. It is because of You, Lord, that we have breath. And Lord, we are thankful for every single day that You have blessed us. Lord, I pray a special prayer for all the brothers and sisters, Lord, who have lost a loved one. Right now, Lord, during these times when there's this virus going around, I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen their faith. I pray, Lord, that during these difficult times, they would look to You. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for a special hedge of protection for all those who have lost a loved one as a direct result, Lord, of this virus. Once again, Lord, thank You for keeping us. Thank You, Lord, for keeping us safe. We worship You. We praise You. We exalt Your holy name. Be magnified, Lord, and be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to say right now, it's come to my attention that our neighbor church, right across the driveway here, they have suffered some losses. Let's keep them in prayer. Let's hold them in prayer. Whenever you pray this evening and throughout this week, that the Lord will keep them and guide them and guard them. They are our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And this weekend, some of them had a very sad countenance in a parking lot. And it seemed like they were having a prayer meeting. And praise God for that, that they're reaching out to God. But I've personally have found out from people from my job, clients who come and service cars, some of them have passed away, people that I personally knew. So we praise God for Him keeping us. We glorify His name. And let us keep those who have suffered a loss, let's keep them in our prayers for the Lord to comfort them and continue to protect them in these tough times. Praise God. I'd like to thank you for joining me this evening for this broadcast, for this live live stream. Thank you so much. I'd like to say that I've missed you all. I have been calling people just to hear their voice and speak to them and see how everybody's doing. So expect a phone call from me this week. And also feel free to call in, leave us a voice message if no one picks up, send us an email. I would love to hear from you, and I can't wait till we congregate again. Praise God. May you go with the blessings of God and His protection upon your life. And may you keep your focus on our Lord Jesus at all times. Praise the Lord. God bless you.